We are in the middle of discussing the topic of asking things, requesting things from Malachim, which we got into because the Gemara says that Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi's mazel saw the vision that Daniel saw. They didn't see it, but their mazel saw it. Rashi said mazel is a person's malach above. And in other places, Rashi says that every person has a malach who advocates for him. And Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Daled, Amud Beis, Rashi says that person should always ask the malachim to daven with him and help his tfilos go up. So from that, we got into the topic of asking malachim to help our tfilos and other asking malachim other things. Tefillah of Machnisi Rachamim and Shalom Aleichem and other related types of tefillos. So the Kolbo is a Rishon, but we don't know anything about him. We don't even know his name. There's an influential Rishon. Some say that it was written by the Rivash. Some say his name was Shemaria Rabbi Simcha or Yosef Rabbi Tuvia. We really know absolutely nothing about him, even though he's very influential. So he says regarding davening in Aramaic that it's only prohibited by an individual, but a tzibur is allowed to daven in Aramaic. And we had tied that into because the Gemara says that a person should not daven in Aramaic because the Malachim don't understand. And if the question was, why do we care if the Malachim understand or not? So he says, V'tzarech kol ish bal secha litbonen b'mamar zeh, every intelligent person has to look carefully at this statement that a person should not daven in Aramaic because angels don't understand Aramaic. Because al yitel lomar shedat Rabbi Yochanan shechavein hashoel lishol tzerchav lemalach shitzref lefilato. A person should not make the mistake of thinking that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that a person should ask a malach to join his prayer v'lo lahakriva, and not to bring it close to lashmi alifnei Hashem, or to make it heard before Hashem. So he brings Yerushalmi that we quoted that says, don't cry out to Michal or to Gavriel, but only to Hashem. He says, rather, Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, Rabbi Yochanan's statement is clear to those who are understanding. And what does it mean? So he explains it similarly to the way the Meiri explained it that we quoted yesterday, that it's not actually talking about malachim at all, but rather malachei sharet refers to hakochot hatovot, a person's good powers from which his good midos come. Those are called malachei hashareis. And hakochot haraot, his bad powers from which his bad midos come, are called malachei chavala. And that a person, when he davens, should channel his good midos into it. And since most people, certainly nowadays, as I said yesterday, it's hard to understand since in time of the Gemara, people seems we did speak Aramaic, but the Meiri and the Kolbo are saying since a person doesn't understand Aramaic so well, he can't channel all of his good kochos into tefillah if it's in Aramaic, and therefore it shouldn't be in Aramaic.
And if he's talking about the power, what's the difference from Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara?
Well, Yetzer Tov is the sum of his good midos, and the Yetzer Hara is the sum of his bad midos, right? So he calls them hakochot hatovot asher mehem nimshechu hama'alot hatovot, the good kochos from which good milas come, the good midos. I think we're saying the same thing. So that is very similar to what the Meiri says. The Rikanti, who was an Italian Mokobol who lived the end of the 1300s and beginning of the end of the 1200s and beginning of the 1300s, Rav Menachem Rikanti. So he writes in his commentary on Parsha Shlach, quotes the Medrash that the Gemara, that Kalev went to daven at the graves of the Avos, and he asked the Avos to daven for him, that he should be saved from Ragat Meraglim. And he says very emphatically, This will shut up, muzzle those who say not to say Machnisei Rachamim, because you see that Kalev asked the Avos to daven for him. If we can ask dead people to daven for us, we can ask Malachim to daven for us too. What's the difference? Gam Hashamru Od Razal Masechet Taniyot. Also, what it says in the Gemara Masechet Tanis, that why do we go out to cemeteries? So that the Mesim will daven for us. So that's a short comment. It's what he says. We saw this argument yesterday, and we saw the answer to it, and the Levush, a major posek, Rav Mordechai Yafeh, who lived from 1535 to 1612, he says, this doesn't muzzle them at all, because there's a difference between humans who died and angels, because if somebody davens to angels, he might, or davens for angels, asks angels to help to take his philos in or daven for him, he might mistake the angels for a god. He's not going to mistake Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, who are lying in a grave, or his parents or grandparents or great-grandparents whose graves he goes to, not going to mistake them for gods. So not comparable at all. We saw that argument yesterday from one of the Rishonim. One of the sources most often quoted on this subject as being strongly against saying Machnis Rachamim is the Maharal. The Maharal writes in Sefer Nesivos Olam, Nativ HaAvodah, chapter 12, he says that Rabbi Yochanan says, quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Rashi said, interpreted as meaning that a person should ask the Malachim to help his tefilos go in. The Maral gives it a different interpretation. He says, "Uperush ze." The meaning of this Gemara is, "Ki ha-me'ameitz b'tefila ose atzmo medukeh ve'alul ve'lev nishbar b'shvil tzarko shum yipalel alav ve'ein l'ze shum nishbar v'nidkeh legamrei shum tzarim." The person works very hard on davening. He makes himself into a broken-hearted person, a humble, broken-hearted person. And when a person is broken-hearted, he has no opposition to his tefillah from the heavenly prosecutor or anybody. It helps his tefillos be accepted. So when he says that a person should should ask that everyone should strengthen his tefillah, it just means he should cause himself, he should work very hard on tefillah to be brokenhearted. V'zeh yoter tov, and this is better, ki karov tefillah zot al shem yitbarach shlo yelo tzarim, that such a tefillah is closer to Hashem because there are no antagonists, because that tefillah is inherently good. When a person davens, there could be angels who are arguing, he's davening for wealth, the angels are arguing he doesn't deserve wealth, or he's davening for children, he's davening for health, the angels are arguing he doesn't deserve that. But if he comes before Hashem brokenhearted, that has the effect of shutting up the angels, that they can't oppose him. But to speak to the angels and say, do not oppose my tefila, ze ein ra'ui, that is not appropriate. It should all be a tefila to Hashem. So he should, when he says, he should ask others to, he should ask others to strengthen his power. Doesn't mean ask the angels to help him. It means ask Hashem, say, I'm coming before you brokenhearted. Therefore, Hashem, don't let anyone oppose my tefila. Aval anu noagim lamar mechnisei rachamim. It says, however, we do have the custom to say this prayer of machnisei rachamim, hachnisu rachamim lufnei bala rachamim, take our tefilos in before the bala rachamim. We do have that custom. Nevertheless, ve'ein ze ra'oi, it's not appropriate. Ki davar ze ki'ilu mitpalel al malachim, because that's like you're davening to the angels, shechnisu rachamim uvelo matzanu ze. We have no precedent for that. And then he says, what about going out to the cemetery? We do not go to the cemetery to ask the people who are buried there to daven for us. It's just that by going there, we connect ourselves with them and they do daven for us. Like we saw yesterday from one of the Rishonim, the idea that the deceased do have a connection to what's going on in this world. They are aware. If we go to their graves, it makes them aware of our needs, and then they daven for us. Not that we ask them to daven for us. Bafili mutar lamar ladam acher lifalelav. Now, how's this different from asking another person to daven for me, a living person? Zeu etzal adam shua sechesed im chaviro, because you're asking him to do a kindness for you. L'fichach yachol amar say im iti chesed zevi falala. You can ask a person to do a kindness for you and daven for you. Vav malachim lo sheach lamar kach ki hirak hi derech tefila v'bakasha. But you can't ask an angel to do you a favor, and if you would, that would be davening to them, and you're not allowed to. So what about this very ancient tradition of saying Machnisei Rachamim? Maral acknowledges it's a very ancient custom. And Maral lived in the 1500s, so it had been around for at least 700-800 years by his time, maybe longer. It's not a request of the angels. We're commanding the angels. A person can command the angels to do something. This ties back to the discussion that we had a couple months ago. We discussed at length, who's greater, people or angels? We're greater than the angels. So we can command the angels to do something. In contrast, there's a late Rishon or early Achron lived in Moravia, where today the Czech Republic, by name of Mahari Mibrona, and he says very briefly that the reason we say Midas the reason we say Machnisei Rachamim is that we are humbling ourselves. Like when you go to ask for something from a king or the president, you don't just barge in and talk to the president. You humble yourself in front of his staff and his advisors before you get to talk to him. And so Machnisei Rachamim is a way of humbling ourselves. That's what Mari Brona says. Maral is saying exactly the opposite. We're greater than the angels. We can tell them what to do. It's their job. Go do your job.
If it's their job, then what's the command?
Right. We mentioned that yesterday. It's not entirely clear. Why do we have to, if it's their job, why do we have to tell them to do their job? I said yesterday.
Is he limiting it to this, or why don't you tell the Malcolm of us, leave me alone. I'm a human. I'm higher than you.
No, it's because that's his job. His job is
okay,
when the time comes to not leave you alone. he's also doing his job. V'lachach, there is a Gemara later we'll get to about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who did trick the Malacham Avos, but that's not the topic for now. V'lachach mashu who mavakesh machnisi rachamim utfilato l'Hashem yitbarach ki machnisei rachamim yachnisu rachameinu. So then he says, I skipped a line, I'm sorry. He says that you could say that Machnisei Rachamim is commanding the angels, but even so, he says, I'm not comfortable with that, it's not proper. Rather, we have to say that Machnisei Rachamim is a prayer to Hashem that those who take our prayers in should take them in, and therefore he changes. He says that it's a mistake in the wording. It should not be hachnisu rachameinu. Machnisei rachamim, those who take in requests for mercy, hachnisu rachameinu, take in our requests, but rather machnisei rachamim yachnisu rachameinu. We're davening to Hashem that those who take in the request for mercy should take in our requests. We're not talking to the angels. We're talking about the angels. And therefore, he says that is should be the correct wording.
Did anybody any of the Siddur follow that?
I don't think so. And he says that similarly in the prayer that the Chazan says on Yamin Raim before Musaf, there's a prayer to say there. He would make similar changes. Then he says, alternatively, you could defend it by saying that since you're asking the angels to take our prayers into Hashem, you're acknowledging that you're acknowledging Hashem. You're not really davening to the angels because, after all, you're just telling them, take our tefillos to where it matters. You're not asking the angels to do something, to answer your tefillos. You're saying, take our tefillos to the right address, so which is Hashem. So you're addressing the right address, and it's okay. But that's not his preferred solution. His preferred solution is to change the wording so that you're talking to Hashem about the angels rather than talking to the angels themselves. That is, as I said, Maral is one of the most famous sources that's quoted on this subject by those who are opposed to saying it. Rav Yaakov Emden, his commentary on Shulchan Aruch called Mor Uktzia in Simen Gimel, he discusses a number of these tefillos. He says, talks about Shalom Aleichem, which we'll come back to in a few minutes. He quotes the Yerushalmi that says, don't daven to Michal or to Gavriel, because he says that Malachim cannot do anything if Hashem didn't command them to do it. So why would you daven for them? So how do we tell Malachim? He's addressing most specifically the tefillah that the Gemara says, or the words that the Gemara says to say before going into the bathroom, which we don't say nowadays, and we'll come back to that in a few minutes also, why we don't say it nowadays, but we tell the angels, wait for us, wait for me outside of the bathroom. He says, why is that allowed? Because we say the words, Mesharte Elyon, you are the servants, I'm talking to the servants of God. So you're acknowledging, similar to the Maral's last explanation, which wasn't the Maral's preferred explanation, but Rav Yaakov Emden says, you're saying, servants of God, wait for me. So you're acknowledging that they're servants of God and that they're just, it's their job to stand there and wait for you and guard you when you come out. So therefore it's okay. And then he says, for sure, the angels are, it is their job to take our tefillos up to heaven in front of Hashem, as we find many places in the Agadata, and especially the tefillos of an individual rather than a tzibur need malachim, and that's why we're told not to daven in Aramaic, because the angels don't understand it. Okay. So, and he says, and certainly it is appropriate to appease the angels, to ask the angels to take our tefillos in, and he bring as the Yerushalmi, as the Bavli says. So he reconciles the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Okay. We assume they're arguing. The Bavli saying you should ask angels to take your tefillos in, and Yerushalmi says don't daven to angels, daven to Hashem. He says they're not arguing. You should daven to Hashem. Don't daven to angels. The angels have no independent powers, but you should ask the angels to help your davening get to Hashem, acknowledging that they are. That they too are subservient to Hashem, and it's just their job to help your tefillos get in. So, according to Yaakov Emden, there's no machlokas at all between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. We'll come back to this Yaakov Emden in a few minutes. Talk about Shalom Aleichem and why we don't say nowadays this tefillah of before going into the bathroom. The Chasam Sofer. In Hungary, the late 1700s, early 1800s, also one of the most commonly quoted sources. And he is opposed to saying Machisei Rachamim, but he says, I do not tell the congregation not to say it. I'm not going to try to change the davening. There's an interesting historical context in the journal Yeshurun that I quoted the last 2 days. He makes an interesting historical note. When the Reform movement started, one of the things that they tried to do, or did, was shorten the davening. But they didn't want to come along and say, just the davening is too long. So they came up with all kinds of Torah-based arguments for why the davening should be shortened. And one of the things that they argued, that the leaders of the early Reform movement argued, is daven to angels? We don't daven to angels. We have to strike out this tefillah and this tefillah and this tefillah because they're all against halacha. Like, they're acting very religious. We're in the name of the Torah, we're going to strike this out and strike this out. It's similar to, you know, arguments that they make, you know, for, you know, not following matrilineal descent. It's in the best interest of the Jewish people, that kind of thing. So Chasam Sofer, who was lived in that period and was one of the big opponents of the Reform movement in Hungary, he wasn't going to start shortening the davening and saying, don't say this, because it's against halacha. But he personally wasn't comfortable with it. So he writes, what I do is, a couple pages before Machnisi Rachamim in Eslichos, is Tachanun. You put your head down, and you say Tachanun. He said, I say Tachanun very slowly. And by the time I finish Tachanun, the congregation has already passed Machnisi Rachamim, and I have to catch up, so I skip it. And that's his solution. If you don't want to say Machnisi Rachamim, don't try to change what the sitter says. Just fall behind in the davening, and one way to do that is by saying Tachanun very slowly, and you've solved that problem. Unfortunately, that's true. Rav Moshe Feinstein, bringing this up to the present time, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Volume 8, Or Chaim, Part 5, Simon. Mem Gimel, section Vav. Very complicated citation. But so he writes about going to graves of ancestors and tzaddikim and davening there and saying machnisei rachamim, all of these subjects that we've been talking about. And he says, we have to say that since these malachim were appointed by Hashem to be our advocates for whatever reason, even though Hashem himself knows everything, Hashem doesn't really need lawyers to come argue before him, but for whatever reason, Hashem set up the world this way, that the angels are the prosecuting angels, they're prosecuting angels, and there are defense angels and advocates. That's the way Hashem set it up. So part of that package that Hashem set up is that just like when you go to court, you need to hire a lawyer. When you go to Hashem, you need to hire a lawyer, and the lawyer is the angel. And that's how it works. And so we ask them to go speak for us. This would answer the question we asked a few minutes ago and yesterday, why do we need to ask the angels to do their job? The answer is simply, we don't know why Hashem set it up that way, but that's the way Hashem set it up. Ramchal, I believe, Derech Hashem, if I remember correctly, says that Hashem set up, in order for us to have a relationship with Hashem, Hashem had to set up that relationship as something we can relate to. And since we can relate to the relationship of a subject to a king or a citizen to the president, in Ramchal's time it was all kings, there were no presidents, but since that's something we can relate to, so that's the way Hashem operates also. And part of that is that he's talking about it in the context of there's a Beis Din Shel, we talk about the Beis Din Shel Mala, the court above. There's a court. The Hashem is the chief justice and the angels sit on the court. Why did Hashem do that? Hashem doesn't need help. Because Hashem wants us to be able to relate. And that's a construct that we can relate to. So the same thing here for whatever reason, Hashem chose to set it up this way that we can relate to, that we have angels who are our lawyers and there are angels who are prosecutors, and that's the system. And since that's the system, so it's perfectly okay to ask the angel to be your lawyer and go advocate for you. And that's not davening. You're not davening to the angels. It's not at all the same thing. He brings Ramban, we saw, said very strongly, it's Avodah Zarah to daven two angels. Ramban says that when Yaakov asked the angel that Yaakov fought with, he said, what's your name? And the angel said, why are you asking my name? Ramban says, the angel was telling him, what good is it going to do you to know my name? I have no power. I can't do anything for you. You can't daven to me. So what do you need my name for? Certain how the Ramban explains it. And davening two angels would be prohibited, but asking the angels to be our advocates, because that's the system that Hashem set up, Moshe Feinstein says, that's perfectly okay. Finally, last source on this topic, the Klausenberger Rebbe, also relatively contemporary, post-Holocaust, he writes in his Shalosh Neshuvos, Divrei Yatziv, Yoredeya, Part 2, Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph. He goes so far as to suggest that the Rambam, who said one of the 13 articles of faith is not to daven for angels, not to daven to angels, rather, not to ask for their help, the Rambam would not be opposed to saying Machnisei Rachamim. We said when we read the Rambam that he doesn't address Machnisei Rachamim. We don't even know if he was aware of it or not, but he clearly would be opposed to it. And that's what everyone assumes, the Rambam would be opposed to it. Klausenberger Rebbe says, not so obvious that the Rambam would be opposed to it, because what the Rambam prohibited is thinking that the angels have some power. But if you ask, if you go to the White House and you knock on the door and you ask the usher to take a note to the president, you don't think the usher has any power to grant your request. You asked him to take it to the president. And similarly, if you ask the malachim to take your note, to take your tfilos to Hashem, you're acknowledging that it's Hashem that you're davening to, and you don't think the angels have any power. And therefore, he says that possibly the Rambam would agree that it's okay to say Ma'achin Sirachamim and would not be opposed to it. The bottom line is that it is printed in our Machzorim, and the prevalent custom in the Jewish people is to say it, and those who, there are some who don't say it, and they saw the reasons, or some who do say it but reinterpret it as not speaking to angels, but referring to our good midos, and so on. Shulchan Aruch, Simon Gimel, says, Sif Aleph, Kishi kanes lebeit hakisei, when a person goes in to the bathroom, Yomru hitkabdu mechubadim v'chulei, you should say this line that's quoted in the Gemara where we ask the angels to wait outside. V'achshav lo nagu lomro. And nowadays, it's not customary to say this. The Shulchan Aruch is written in the 1500s, so already in that time, he says it's not customary to say it. The Taz says, Ki ein anu machzikim lirat shamayim shemalachim v'lavim otanu. We do not hold ourselves out to be so God-fearing that angels would accompany us. Therefore, we don't talk to the angels because they're not there. Yaakov Emden, in Morog Tziah, says, first of all, he says, how can we abolish a custom that's cited in the Gemara just because we don't think we're good enough to have the angels? Furthermore, if we don't have angels accompanying us, why do we say Shalom Aleichem on Friday night? Shalom Aleichem, we're talking to the angels who accompany us. Maybe. But why? What's different on Shabbos? So we'll see. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that can't be the reason that we're not important, we don't consider ourselves important enough to have angels. He says the reason's something else. In the olden days, they didn't have bathrooms like we have nowadays. You had to go out in the field. You had to find a private, secluded place out in the field to take care of your physical needs. It was dangerous and scary. And so you had to daven for extra protection. Today, we have, Yaakov Emden, I'm sure, did not have indoor plumbing like we have, but they didn't go out in the fields anymore, as was done in time of the Gemara, and therefore there isn't the same danger involved, there isn't the same fear involved, and we don't need to daven for protection. Yaakov Emden says that that's the reason why we don't say this. I'm hesitating to call it a tefillah because then you get into the question of whether we're davening to angels. But we don't say this line about asking the angels to wait for us. That's Rav Yaakov Emden's explanation. Now, according to that, it's not true that we're not important enough to have accompanying angels, and that would explain why we could say Shalom Aleichem on Friday night, because the angels are accompanying us. After all, nevertheless, as I mentioned, Yaakov Emden actually was not a fan of Shalom Aleichem, and he says that he doesn't say it. He says, I never saw my father say, any of the philos that are printed in the siddur to say on Friday night when you come home. Never heard of such a thing. They're, you know, we don't know the sources of them. You're not. They include personal requests. That you're not supposed to make personal requests on Shabbos, even to daven for a chole, who's not in a life-threatening situation on Shabbos, is not allowed. So how can you say all these long, read all these prayers that are written in the benchers where we ask for all kinds of things on Friday night? My father didn't say them, and I don't say them, and even Shalom Aleichem. As I mentioned, he says there are grammatical problems with Shalom Aleichem. It doesn't make any sense. And he says, all I say is Shalom Aleichem Malachei Asherim Malachei Elyon Melech Malachei Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Period. I greet the angels who are the servants of the King of Kings. End of Shalom Aleichem. And then he gets to Kiddush faster. So that is what Rav Yaakov Emden says. Rav Kook in Mitziut Katan, paragraph Yud Daled, and this is printed elsewhere in Rav Kook's writings as well. He says, as Yitzi said, Shabbos is different. As Ataz said, we don't say this, make this statement to the angels to wait for us, because we're not important enough to have angels. So why do we say Shalom Aleichem? Because the reason they had angels accompanying them all over the place, all the time in those days, was because in the time of the Gemara, people wore tefillin all day long, not just during davening. And it's in the schus of the tefillin that the angels would accompany you. Today, we don't wear tefillin all day long, so the angels are not accompanying us. However, on Shabbos, we don't wear tefillin at all. Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos? Because the Gemara says that tefillin are an os, tefillin are a sign of our relationship with Hashem. And Shabbos is an oath. Shabbos is a sign of our relationship with Hashem. On Shabbos, we don't need tefillin because we have Shabbos instead. So just like in the olden days when people wore tefillin all day, they had angels accompanying them. On Shabbos, we have angels accompanying us. And therefore, we say Shalom Aleichem, addressing those angels who are accompanying us on Shabbos. So there's no contradiction between the two. And lastly, the Sivo Shalom, interesting, is a little tangential to our subject of talking to angels, but the Sivo Shalom has an interesting explanation of that Gemara that says that two angels accompany a person home on Friday night, one good and one bad. When they get home, if they find the candles lit and the table set, so the good angel says, Yiratzon, may it be Hashem's will that it will be this way next week. And the bad malach is forced to answer Amen. And likewise, if the table's not set and the candles are not lit, and so the bad angel says, may it be this way this week, next week, and the good angel has to answer Amen. So Nesiv HaShalom says that, what exactly is going on here? So Shabbos involves two components, Zachor and Shamar. Zachor, remember Shabbos, is the mitzvah of Kiddush. It's the positive commandments of Shabbos, which the main one is to make Kiddush. Shamar, guard yourself, refers to the losaseis, the negative commandments, not doing malacha on Shabbos. There are these two different components. Which one is more important? Which one is what makes Shabbos? A year or two ago, my boss wanted me to go to Albuquerque for a meeting on Friday afternoon in the winter. Shabbos started about 4 o'clock. And I said, I can't do that. He said, why? Well, the meeting will be in your hotel. So, 3:45, you go up to your room and you won't do any work on the Sabbath. And I said, sorry, you don't understand. That's not what Shabbos is. Shabbos is not sitting in a hotel room not doing work. There's a lot more to Shabbos than that. Right. That's the discussion between these malachim. What is the primary thing on Shabbos? Is it sitting and not doing any work? Or is it the beauty of Shabbos? Is it Kiddush and candles and challah and zmiros? So when the angels come home with you and the table is set and the candles are lit and so on, the good angel, the angel of Zachor, the angel of the mitzvah saseh, says to the other angel, look how beautiful this is. And the second angel has to say, you're right. Pretty nice. Amen. It should be this way next week. Conversely, if you come home and things are not set up so nicely, so the other angel, the one of the losases of the negative commandments, says, at least you're not doing malacha in this house on Shabbos, not doing work. And the other angel has to say, yeah, I guess that's a good thing. And that is what that Gemara, which is the basis for Shalom Aleichem, it comes from that Gemara. As I mentioned, we don't know who wrote Shalom Aleichem, where it came from. It's about 700-800 years old, but it's seemingly based on this Gemara about the angels coming home with us. That's how the Nisiva Shalom interprets that Gemara. He's not talking about Shalom Aleichem at all, the Siva Shalom. He's talking about the Gemara that Shalom Aleichem is based on. There are those who are bothered by this. How do we tell the angels to leave? The truth is, we're not. The word Seischem L'Shalom doesn't mean go away. It means when you go away, it should be in peace. That could be interpreted as inviting them to leave. That's not literally what it means. I also saw once somewhere, I don't remember where, I'm sure none of us needs this, but in a house where there is not Shalom Bayis, there's some sefer suggests, don't say Seischem L'Shalom. You don't want the angels to go away. You want them to stay. But Seischem L'Shalom is not telling them to go away. It's just saying, when you go away, it should be in peace. Have a good day.